Shalom, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan, along with my beautiful wife and soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, sweetie, and shalom to you all. We had a good response to last week's program where we highlighted the scientific apologetics useful for witnessing. And you asked that we extend the apologetics to elaborate on the prophecy application, which we have before, but since it is our favorite area, we will again tonight. But first, of course, let us give thanks unto the Lord.
O Lord, our God, we exalt you as King of kings and Lord of lords, creator of all things. We thank you for our salvation, the greatest gift of all, that takes us through our journey, no matter what storm comes our way. And we thank you for our trials, for without them, how would we see your hand of rescue? We offer up to you the prayers of the saints listening right now. May their burden be light as we anxiously await your trumpet sound. May tonight's study make you smile as we continue to pray for the salvation of all our loved ones. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Some comments on Israel?
Of course. Netanyahu's speech to Congress last week was magnificent. But some obvious pro-Hamas progressive Democrats refused to attend, including Kamala or Biden, because it would send a bad message if they had to stand and clap with all the others.
And clap they did quite frequently.
They instead met with Bibi privately, one-on-one, with, of course, no press. Obviously, so they could say one thing to him and another to the people.
Why else would they meet secretly?
And with no transparency, and they're so good at boasting about that. And it did prove true, because Kamala and Bibi's words to the press, well, they did differ, because they have to cater to their constituency. Kamala continues to tote her remarks to her progressive base, while at the same time is trying to be more moderate. But she can't escape her previous statements, and it's all on camera, like eliminating red meat consumption, fracking, plastic straws, and Medicare for all, to include all the illegal aliens that she has allowed to enter through our southern border, that at one time she was supposedly the acting border czar.
But now she denies it.
Yeah, and as she caters to the anti-American pro-Hamas sickos, who we also had to watch in our Capitol, those insurrectionists burn our American flag and set fire to an effigy of Netanyahu, our one true ally in the Middle East.
Yeah, Bibi calls them Iran's useful idiots.
He did say that to Congress. Good news is, Bibi met with Trump on Friday at Mar-a-Lago, but early on Saturday, Bibi heard about another attack on northern Israel by Hezbollah, killing 12 children while at a soccer game. Israel did respond quickly, but with a promise to respond again, but in a more serious way soon. But no sooner than Israel made that declaration, Turkey's President Erdogan on Sunday threatened to invade Israel.
Would he do that?
I would think only covertly. Anything else would probably kick him out of NATO, which he should have never been allowed to join in the first place.
That's for sure. Doesn't Turkey and Russia have a warm relationship?
On occasion, when it is necessary.
Other news.
Okay. Well, congressional hearings began today on Trump's assassination attempt with the Secret Service and the FBI.
Yeah, the shooter definitely had help.
Yes. We should also comment on the grotesque Paris opening of the Olympics, which was very disgusting as they reimagined the Lord's Last Supper, but using all drag queens, with a walking runway in front of them using homosexual models.
Yeah, it was a big insult to Christians.
Well, remember Galatians 6:7?
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For when he sows to his flesh, flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life.
And I say amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated, which will automatically add you to our mailing list, our prophecy updates, and biblical teaching. Please consider any love gift, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where our radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your convenience. Okay, how does prophecy prove the Bible is authentic and inspired by God alone?
Well, simply put, Bible prophecy is hundreds of declarations written down in Scripture long before they happened. And since we know Satan is a liar and a deceiver, the major lie being told today about the Bible is that it's just written by mere man.
So, not inspired.
Or some is and some isn't, allowing some religious leaders to choose what is from God and perhaps what is not. Which is what I was told by a priest many years ago. Therefore, he said, we should just read our catechism, the church's laws, and those parts of Scripture that they deemed inspired. And sometimes it was out of context. My catechism, way back when, also removed the second commandment of bowing down to statues and made the 10th commandment into two, in order to still have 10.
You know, that's an abomination.
So I listened, as I was a good Catholic girl, and I always loved God. And in fact, witnessed to my girlfriend in second grade and taught her how to go to confession, which she did. And then I even baptized her in the bathtub. But her parents found out, and that was the end of that. But I didn't know Jesus personally, or why he would do such a thing by dying on the cross. Anyhow, I stayed a good Catholic till my 30s when I met the real Jesus and received my salvation.
Well, I learned about being saved at the age of probably around 2 in the Bible Belt of the mountains of Virginia, where my mom always said on Sunday mornings, Daniel, you can go to church and like it, or you can go to church.
Anyhow, what is amazing to me, the many who say that the Bible is not true are often following the writings of some other person who claims to be from God. And many believe them and still do, and even though their writings don't pass the litmus test, and in fact have often failed the test.
As in the Watchtower and the Quran.
Or the Book of Mormon. None of which have any proven prophecies, and in fact is full of inconsistencies. Yet again, these cults have millions of followers.
And there's many of them.
Yeah. Even though the Bible has passed the litmus test, proving itself above all to be supernatural.
And other books that they just don't.
Because they can't.
So expound on the litmus test.
Okay, well, it is the overwhelming fulfillment of hundreds of written down with some very specific prophecies contained in Scripture, penned hundreds of years before they come to fruition. I'm going to suggest you read on your own Isaiah chapters 41 through 46, which talks a lot about being guided by deceivers who declare the future, you know, like in astrologers, or talking to idol statues, etc. But I do want to read Isaiah 46, verse 9 right now, where God says that no one but he can predict the future accurately all the time, and that is how we can test his word.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
So grab a hold of this. God wants us to test him so that then we will trust his word. Anyhow, God would not put only half-truths in his book. And in fact, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that
all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
And we say this often because it's important. The Bible contains 1,817 individual predictions concerning 737 separate subjects.
No other book has ever done that.
Especially without error. Right there is enough reason to trust the Bible. A great example is in the book of Daniel, where God gave him a detailed description of each succeeding empire from Babylon through the Romans, as well as the last reigning empire when Jesus returns.
Daniel could not have known this but for God.
And we've also talked about the precise history of the Israelites in Scripture, again confirming that only God could have known all of that ahead of time. Like each of their three long captivities, beginning with their 430 years in Egypt.
Genesis 15:13.
Then, after being there just 30 years, a new Pharaoh would arise where they would be slaves for 400 years, enduring great affliction.
All predicted ahead of time.
Scripture also prophesies about the diaspora in 70 AD, and also predicted by Jeremiah that they would come back to their land at the end of days, which was written approximately 630 years before Christ. As well, we've read this many times before, but repetition helps the memory. So this is the Lord speaking through Jeremiah in chapter 23, verse 7.
Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they will no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land.
And so they have returned, and more are still coming in spite of the current wars. And the best part in all of this is, it's our generation to see it happen. Doesn't that make you feel special?
Very special.
And I love this example. Again, hundreds of years before it occurred, God even named the king, which was Cyrus, written by Isaiah in chapters 44 and 45, who would make the decree for the Jews to go back home from Babylon after their 70 years of captivity, which was then read by Jeremiah, given to King Cyrus himself.
Can you imagine how Cyrus must have felt?
I know, right? Because he immediately wrote a decree allowing the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and start rebuilding their temple. God predicted through Ezekiel, too, about Israel's dispersion over the last 2,000 years and their return to their land,
which became a legal state on May 15, 1948.
Yep. The fig tree began blooming again, setting off the last generation of no more than 80 years, according to Psalm 90, verse 10, to the very final days to hear the words like John did. Come up here. And 7 years later, Yeshua's bodily return, this time to set up his kingdom on earth. And we, the bride, will accompany him, having escaped the coming judgment.
Our promise spoken by Jesus himself in Luke 21, verse 36.
And most remarkable is that there are over 300 prophecies concerning just his first coming, even naming the town he'd be born in.
Micah 5:2 wrote, in Bethlehem.
And that was written 700 years before his birth. Now come on, who but God could do that? Do you know what the odds are of, let's just say, 3 out of 300 being correct is?
1 chance in 120,000.
Okay, how about just 11 being correct?
That's
do you want me to say? Okay, that's 1 chance in 10 to the 19th power.
That's 18 zeros.
Impossible without God. These things we need to share with the unsaved. And many prophecies have been fulfilled just in our own lifetime. Besides Israel coming back to their land, we also read where Daniel in chapter 12 says that knowledge in the last days shall increase exponentially, and people will be running to and fro. No one can deny that we are in the midst of a knowledge explosion. And in about 10 to 15 hours, you can go clear across the globe.
And it's our generation that saw space travel.
Even landing on the moon.
Oh, so they say.
Yeah. And we also often talk about what I think is a real eye-opener. Around the year 2000, some scientists met together to measure the growth of knowledge by what man has achieved throughout history since the birth of Christ. So here we go. This is really cool. Let's just say from the year zero to 1845, we only had like 1 inch of knowledge. Let's just say this is a graph. From 1845 to 1945, that's 100 years, it only went up to 3 inches of knowledge. Now, in my existence, between 45 and 75, that's 30 years, it went up to 525 feet long. From 76 to 89, it went up to 2,400 feet long. And from 89 to 93, that's just 4 years, it doubled to 4,800 feet long. Then in 2 years, 94 to 96, it doubled again to 9,600 feet long. And 97 to 99, it doubled again to 19,200 feet long. And it continues doubling every 2 years.
And tell that one again about Solomon.
Oh, yeah. Think about this. Solomon traveled at the speed of horseback, communicated by a foot messenger. He made clothing through their own agriculture. But if you jump ahead 3,000 years during Abraham Lincoln's time, they were doing the same thing. Not much increasing. However, today, our generation, well, we can travel at the speed of sound, communicate by the speed of light, clothe ourselves with molecules made by machines designed in a laboratory, add to that computers, AI, driverless cars, space satellites, drones. The list is endless. So, has knowledge increased, particularly in our generation?
It's prophecy being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. And as we talk about often, hundreds of scrolls written by the many patriarchs and handed down from Noah, who had his ancestors' writings, and he took them on the ark.
Then Noah handed them down eventually to Abraham.
Who, by the way, Noah lived to be 950. So he was still alive when Abraham was even 100 years old.
Imagine their conversation.
Yeah. And in due course, the writings made it to the Essenes for safekeeping, who also wrote down their own prophecies on papyrus scrolls written 100 years before Messiah came, who prophesied Messiah's death, and quite accurately, I might add, and also his second coming. Anyhow, when the Romans were on their way around 70 AD to Qumran, where the Essenes lived, they hid them, these writings, in clay pots inside the many caves in the mountains on the west side of the Dead Sea, which, by the way, is a very dry desert. So it preserved them for the last generation. That's us. When God arranged for them to be found, initially by a Bedouin boy, just looking for his goat. And we saw the caves and also viewed the original scrolls that are now kept in the Israeli Museum. Most were clearly written in Hebrew, some Aramaic, and some being fragmented, but they were meticulously hidden in these clay pots and proven by various reliable dating methods, matching within 3% of the same Bible that we all hold in our hands today.
God did it for us.
Just imagine that. Just imagine that. But here's something else to think about. We only have 10 ancient copies of the accounts of Julius Caesar's wars in France. Yet, no one ever doubts that they occurred, nor do they have any problem putting it in the history books. In fact, the earliest copy that we have today of those wars was actually written 1,000 years after the fact. So accuracy is easily questionable, or should be, and yet it is not. The Gospels, however, have 24,000 existing ancient manuscripts. Even so, people all through history have tried to eradicate these manuscripts.
Then again, remember Ephesians 6 and who our enemy really is.
That's what we really do have to remember, because he's behind it. And sadly, we know in 303 AD, there was an edict from Rome that anyone caught with a Bible would be executed.
So most started burning their Bibles.
And even through all that, the Bible has survived far more than any other manuscript. I mean, it's amazing. And the length of time from the original New Testament manuscripts are only between 25 to 300 years after the fact, making the Bible far more accurate. Far more accurate for truth than any other historical writings. Saints, we need to know this. We need to kind of keep these things on the tip of our tongues so we can be confidently credible when defending this great book of God. And so, do not be deceived, because Matthew 24 says that the last generation would be. That was the first sign that he says to be aware of. Deception. You stand up, saints of God, and defend God's word. You will be highly rewarded by him on judgment day. Believe me. And if you have never asked Jesus into your heart, oh Lord, for God's sake, do it now. And if you're not sure, just do it again. Be sure you don't just have a head knowledge. Be sure to reread Matthew 7. And saints, witness, 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 and your rewards, they surely will be great. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper in many different ways. Shalom till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.